time now for the Tax and You radio show with UK Aga. Tax and You is brought to you by the Cross River Internal Revenue Service with support from the European Union and World Bank.
Welcome to the Tax and You radio show brought to you by the Cross River Internal Revenue Service, CRIRS. I am Uke Oga, your host. This program is aimed at educating the citizen on the fiscal responsibilities as a taxpayer. It brings tax matters closer to the people. Always remember that it all begins with your tax. Last week, we began a very interesting conversation on pools and betting. Pools and bet. Okay, well, that wasn't the title per se. It was taxation of gaming industry, the operator's obligations. I put it that way because a lot of us, a subset of the population, are involved in the gaming industry in one way or the other. But now, how can that industry that you're involved in as a gamer also serve you as an average citizen in need of public services and utilities? Well, we have the taxmen here to answer that question and more. Last week, we had a very interesting conversation on the relationship or the confluence of taxation and gaming. This week, we'll take it a step further. But our guests from last week are still here. It's my pleasure to introduce to you or reintroduce the Deputy Director, Head Polls and Betting, Cross River Internal Revenue Service, Mr. Peter Ekpa. Good morning, Mr. Peter Ekpa. Thank you for being here again.
Very good morning to you. Good morning to you, all listeners.
We also have the Principal Statistician, Head Statistics and Research Unit, Cross River Internal Revenue Service, Mr. Oyoita Ekpeyong Ekpo. Good morning, Mr. Ekpo.
Good morning, UK. Thanks for having us again.
Thank you for being here. Could we do a recap? I'd like us to begin by having a look at what we discussed last week. For the benefit of those who may not have been a part of the conversation, what has betting got to do with taxation? What's the confluence, Mr. Ekpa?
As we said in the last conversation,
it's pretty straightforward. The betting industry is a gold mine, and so much revenues accrue from there to both operators and players. Taxation basically is an obligation of citizens to their respective nations, states as the case may be, for subnationals. So if these revenues are generated to the extent that we see, it's only fair that the state should benefit from the kind of business that is going on. And directly or indirectly, the revenues generated impact on the lives of the citizens. So, I mean, the confluence is very clear and very direct. People are doing business in Cross River. They are generating billions from Cross River. It's only fair that they should also give back a pittance to Cross River.
We had also established, and I'd asked, and maybe I'll ask again, that it's a given that, of course, people who do business will pay taxes and, you know, levies, fees, fines and charges, as the case may be, across board. What makes the gaming industry special? So much so that it has its own specialized unit.
Okay, first of all, the mode of operation of gaming has moved from just being manual. It's automated now. And because it is automated, tracking the activities are not just physical. The state has to implore additional services to be able to track the activities of all of these gaming industries, all of these gaming entities online. So the laws and regulations that regulate those activities are different because the mode of operations of these operators are different.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ekpa. I'm moving to you now, Mr. Oyoita Ekpeyong Ekpo. What laws are there available that regulates gaming or the players in the gaming industry in Cross River State?
Basically, the one that is being actively used now is the resolution number 58 of 2020 that approves the regulations for lotteries, gaming, pools and betting activities in Cross River State.
Okay, that's what all of the actions and activities of the taxman as it concerns betting in Cross River State, that's what it's hinged on.
Exactly. Everything has been captured in that resolution.
Okay. Now, what are the tax obligations of the operators in the gaming industry in the state based on that resolution? What are the tax obligations of operators in that industry?
Okay, thank you very much. For prisoners in that space and that industry, first of all, we know that the barrier to entry of that industry is very low. So we have players coming in and out. As soon as you're ready to operate in the state, you get registered by obtaining a registration form.
As we said in the previous conversation.
And then once you've registered, whether you're an agent or you're a promoter, you get registered for the state to know you and to also protect you from illegal operators, which we keep going after to make sure that we screen the sector properly. After that, you obtain a license, which definitely you're also going to pay for. The rates are very affordable. They are not so high. These are well spelled out and accessible. So for anyone who really wants to know, as you come to the office, we'll make, because we can't start taking them one after the other. So you get your, you obtain your license. And then once you do that, you can go about your normal activities. After that, of course, there's a renewal of license, which we expect. Because of the nature of the sector, people come in and go out, come in and go out. So we need to constantly know those who are still active in the sector. So by way of renewal, we know those who are still playing in that industry. And then after that, we also have another category for both the promoters and the agents. There's what we call the betting tax.
Okay, betting tax. What's that about?
Betting tax, basically, for the category of the operator, we have both the medium, we have for the large, we have those who are all wish to operate in casinos, for the pool bettings and all that.
It's, so it's classified? 5%.
Yes, it's 5% flat.
Okay.
For all those categories.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Oyuetai Perebo. As you said, there's a lot more that operators can know if they come to the tax agency, this IRS, and engage with the agency. Now, let's talk about liabilities. How are payments of liabilities made, Mr. Ipa?
You know, in Cross River State operates a single ministerial account.
Okay.
Meaning that all revenues to government must be tracked. The unit has a code and all payments are made at the bank. No proprietor or operator is allowed to pay cash to any staff or to anybody. Payments are made with that code to the bank. When you pay to the bank, you receive an electronic slip. It is that slip you bring to the office, to present to the office, and then we can check to confirm your payment, issue you a receipt, and in the event that it is a license you paid for instance, would then issue you a signed license.
Okay. How often are these payments made?
The bulk of these payments are annual. The only ones that are repetitive are the betting stacks. And why is it repetitive? People bet almost every day. You know, the gaming season just started, especially for the
sports,
Premier
League.
It's the most popular around here. But there are a lot of other games that people here do not really. There are also virtual games that go on online that we don't know about, but it generates a lot of money. So what we have done is to ensure that we don't lose out on the activities, or we don't lose track of the activities that go on. So we have said that, okay, monthly we look at what you have done, and then we take a percentage of the revenues generated and you remit that monthly. So there are one of two ways. Either your principal remits on your behalf, or the outlets remit on their own. But it is monthly.
Okay.
And it is basically 5% of the revenues generated.
5%. And there's a very interesting question I want to ask, because there's the ideal and there's the real. Ideally, this was to happen annually. They have the obligations to meet.
Yes. And so they renew their license.
Do they also have to meet income tax and all these other ones as other?
Now this is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
As a business person, as a citizen, you are, as a proprietor of a business, you have to pay your personal income tax.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with the
business
operations. Mm-hmm. The revenues you earn as a person, you declare your income and you pay that as tax. So it is separate from what your business pays in going into the industry. So that's why this is peculiar. As a person, as the owner of the business, you declare your income and you pay your tax as a person. But for the betting tax, it is a percentage of the transactions.
That one is separate.
Yeah. So this is a percentage of the transactions that you're actually involved in that happens in your space, within your catchment area. So that's what we are taxing. So if you have a shop, for instance, and 150 people come to bet in your shop in a month, those transactions net off, and it is 5% of that net that we are asking for. And trust me, 5%, is that not small?
Well, some business people may have different answers for that. But let's ask now, what happens, as I said earlier, the ideal and the real? What happens if they tell you or they default or they refuse to pay? Are there any penalties? Are there any consequences applicable under the law for non-compliance by operators in this gaming industry?
In fact, one of the sources of revenues, as enshrined in the Regulation 58 by Crossriver State House of Assembly, pools and betting and lottery and gaming, is penalties. And it is interesting because, you know, penal fees are not just fees on their own. We put them there to deter people from defaulting. So they are high. But it's not because we want to just rip you off. We want you to stay in line.
To do the right thing.
Exactly. As long as you do the right thing, then there will be no need for us to invoke this section of the law. But, you know, being who we are, we like to cut corners. We like to, you know,
avoidance.
Aha. So when that happens,
the tax man comes heavy on you.
Exactly. And, you know, they have never liked us.
Okay. This is still the Tax and You Radio Show on your favorite radio station this morning. My name is Yuki Oga. Our conversation is on taxation of the gaming industry and the obligations of operators within that industry. We have the Deputy Director, Head, Polls and Betting, CRIRS, and that's Mr. Peter Ekpa, and the Principal Statistician, Head Statistics and Research Unit, CRIRS, Mr. Oyoitai Kweyong-Ekpo, here talking about these issues as it concerns gaming, betting, and you as a taxpayer. We've got to go on a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll look some more into this matter. Don't go away.
This our Crossriver State, a beautiful land, oh. But this our state, if it's better, more and more, more and more. That's one day our hands, yo. That's one day your hands, yeah. Brother, day, sister, day. Everybody hands, make we pay our tax. Make we know we last, make we pay our tax. Make we take Crossriver to the mass. Better road, safety hospital, plus drinking water. Security, prosperity, plus electricity. Better life, no be by lucky. Make we pay our tax, make we no be last. Make we pay our tax, make we take cross river.
Let's all pay our taxes to develop our beautiful state. When we pay our taxes, things work better. Cross River Internal Revenue Service. It all starts with your tax. This message is brought to you by Cross River Internal Revenue Service.
Welcome back to the Tax and You Radio Show with UK Olga on your number one radio station. We're still having a conversation with Mr. Peter Ekpa and Oyoitai Kweyong-Ekpo on gaming and taxation. I think I like the ring to that, gaming and taxation. They've done quite a lot of education as to this aspect of our fiscal lives as a people. But right now we're on the issue of penalties as enshrined in the law. And Mr. Ekpa has just told us that penalties are not, they're not mean, they're not small. So it's in your best interest to do the right thing. But I'd like to ask now, maybe I'll involve Mr. Oyoita in this. Mr. Oyoita, what happens when there's a disagreement? Maybe the tax man says, you know, this is what you ought to do, you're defaulting here, or you should have done this, and the taxpayer, in this case, the betting agent, proprietor, etc., the player in the betting industry disagrees. What happens?
Well, CRIRS is very friendly. Just like we said, the whole essence is not for us to rip people or to put people out of business. So we're very open to negotiations. And all we do is within the ambit of the law. So whenever there is a disagreement, we, of course, we expect you to object. If you are wrongly assessed, you send in an objection and we look at it. We look at the basis. And then at the end of the day, most cases, I can say for sure, we always settle it amicably. However, if for whatever reasons that cannot be settled, we refer it to the legal department and they take it up from there. But most cases, we settle it in such a way that the taxpayers go home happy.
Okay. Does the objection have a window period as with other objections that say sometimes have 30 days, or is it just blanket because this is the gaming?
Precisely. Right. Precisely. 30 days.
Okay, so 30 days from the time that the taxman serves you...
Exactly, an assessment.
An assessment. You yes. have 30 days within which to complain, respond. Object, respond.
Exactly.
After which the demand becomes...
It's binding.
Binding. Okay. Now let's look at another thing. You said quite a lot of great things about how the regulators or the players within the industry should work with the regulators, that's the taxman. But how can you keep abreast with the flux, with the ever-changing situation of things within that virtual space that characterizes the gaming industry as we have it today? Mr. Ekpa?
I am an advocate of rapid learning. Okay. It is important that you keep abreast of the changes that happen in terms of statutes, that's laws, changing laws, regulations, in terms of operations. So you must be up and doing with the news. You must keep yourself abreast with changes that are happening. You must relate with the industry. You must be part of the industry. Because if you are not, they will leave you behind. Mm-hmm. A practical instance, for instance, it would be, let's say, Sportybet.
Okay.
Sportybet operates in Calabar. Mm-hmm. They don't have a signpost. They don't have any insignia. They don't have any office. But they have patronage, serious, huge patronage in Calabar, in Cross River. Mm. How do you know?
Mm.
The only way to know is if you are active online. If you check, if you review, read reviews, go to their website. In fact, sometimes we as much as try to bet ourselves. So this gives you first-hand knowledge of how it works. So you're not talking to the operator as a novice. I don't bet as a person, but I have to bet as a regulator.
To understand the...
Precisely.
I mean, it's very... I picked out something from what you said, Mr. Ipa. He said, if you can have a bet company, have no physical office presence, so they're not paying rental... Rental income is gone. No signage, so the signage fees and all of that is gone. The government is not getting any of that. No salaries for physical staff, so income tax from those people is gone. So, yeah, the money's being used and being taken
exactly.
from the...
So, now, that speaking to that, mm-hmm. Intelligence.
Okay.
It's more like you are a journalist, so you do some sort of investigative journalism.
We have to.
So it's something like, something similar. We don't know you are here, but somehow we find out. We don't know where your head office is, but we find out. And we write you a letter, a friendly letter. Mm. Hey, you know, this is who we are. You're in our space. And recently in the Finance Act 2020, that was the recent Finance Act that was just signed, yes. There's the concept of significant economic presence. You know, there are entities that are not here, but they do a lot of, they have a lot of economic activity in your space. They have an obligation to pay some form of taxes from where they generate these revenues. That's what the law says. So you cannot be in Lagos and operating in our economic space virtually and not pay anything. So on the strength of that, we write a friendly letter to you and we engage you, and you know, the information comes out. And we use intelligence. Intelligence is not cheap. We pay for it.
Mm.
So when we confront them with the facts of the information that we have, they too come to the table and say, okay, well, yes, this is true. So what do we do? How do we go about it? So these conversations are hard, and it goes around what Mr. Oyo was saying earlier. We get them to the table and we settle amicably.
Okay.
Yeah, such that we don't necessarily drive you out of Cross River. In fact, we bring you more physically into Cross River you know, buy
it. So maybe it can now lead to increased signage, having a physical office, having staff.
And then engaging people and being more
citizens,
present.
Yes.
That's the idea.
Employment. So the tax man has a lot that he does. Okay, I'll come to the statistician now, Mr. Oyoeta, to ask you, what are the numbers like? Can you give us like a tentative look into how impactful this sector is? Is it
staggering?
Is it staggering? Is it just a pittance? What exactly are we looking at here?
I'm going to tell you from a personal experience and what this figure speaks for himself from the statistics angle of it.
Okay.
Let's take, for instance, if you have any average household of a minimum of 5 adults,
okay.
Figures shows that whether you like it or not, 1%. There's 1% in that house who is involved in gaming. And then another one tells us also that if you have 5 adults minimum in a house, 20% will love football. And then you know how this thing runs. Once the husband likes football and the wife doesn't like football, somehow along the line it will just rub off and everybody will like football. And then for the ones that are now playing, like we said earlier, when we go out for monitoring, you go to shops, you see people, they are queuing. Some shops have up to 10, 15 systems, and you find a lot of queues there. Now, when you look at the queue, those are just the ones who physically go to the shop. Now, there are another percentage who don't even go to the shop. They stay in the house and play. So, the numbers are high. And then when you now look at the effects of all the shops, like my colleague said earlier, take, for instance, a Bet Niger, who have over 400 outlets in Calabar alone. Now, we now begin to multiply with the number of people. The numbers are simply huge, and I can't even put a figure on it now.
Not even e-com or Gojo.
And that is just Bet Niger. So do the multiply.
The traffic is high, I can tell you for sure.
To make a significant contribution to the government's resources.
Definitely.
And I want to ask you an almighty question. Why should the players care? The everyday man and woman, young person in Nigeria who is a betting person. Why should they care?
That's the ideal situation. The ideal situation is that everyone should care about taxes, because that you have pipe-borne water, that you have good roads, that you can access good medical care, that you don't have to send your child to a private school, that you can afford to send your child to a public school and they would have a seemingly good quality education, that you would listen to a government radio station and it gives you almost, maybe not like Hit FM, but you know what I mean. So these are the things that a taxpayer, an average better would expect. I'm driving out of my house and there's a pothole on Monday, and by Wednesday on my way back from work that pothole is fixed. You know what I mean? So the expectations for me as a better or a taxpayer is high on government. And so if I am sure that what government is collecting from these operators, they use in sorting out these physical infrastructures that benefit me, I would care. But again, like I said, that's an ideal situation. That's what it should be.
Okay.
Yeah. In addition to that, it's even in the best interest of the players, the average players on the street. As we said in the previous conversation, everybody wants to deal with somebody. There will be some level of confidence when you know that the person you're dealing with is registered and recognized and has been given an approved license to operate. So that gives them some confidence, level of confidence. So that, of course, they should care, because in the real scenario, maybe you walk into a shop, and then you bring out your predictions, and then you make your stake, and then you won, and tomorrow you come and then they begin to speak English and you're not paid. That's where they should really care. So when the industry is well regulated, we know the operators, we know them, you can always have somewhere to cry to. So they should really care that those people pay their taxes and are well registered and recognized by the government.
So being regulated by the taxman gives an authenticity and can give confidence to the average citizen.
Precisely.
When they go to play. If you know that a percentage of your money that you put into that betting comes back to your public amenities, then you can have a smile on your face, even if you're not the one sweeping or winning, as the case may be, depending on the different area of the betting space in which you play.
Very true, UK.
My final question for this morning is there any development currently being proposed by the CRIRS as it concerns this?
Well, in the course of the conversation both last week and this week, I think that we have touched on it, but let me just reemphasize.
Please.
The CRIRS is bringing on board a gaming solution, and that solution is supposed to register all operators in the state. And what will happen will then be that it would increase transparency in both what we do and what the operators do. If you tell us that you have done this volume of business, we don't need to argue with you, we will see it. If we bill you, for instance, if we give you an assessment, you also won't need to debate on the assessment because you will see it. So it's a platform for everybody to level out and come clean. So it's actually for equity's sake. So it's coming on board and it's coming on live by the CRIRS. Thanks to our amiable chairman, Mr. Akpanke Oga. Forward thinking. Great guy.
Thank you, Mr. Peter, for that one. Concluding statements?
I would direct this more to the operators.
Okay.
I think that it doesn't pay to fight the taxpayer. You never really win fighting government per se, because government is you. Change is constant. Let's embrace change. Let's be more transparent. Let's be more forthright. And if there are any issues, please do not hesitate to contact the Cross River Internal Revenue Service. We are open to all complaints and we deal with them fairly and squarely.
Thank you, Mr. Peter Ekpa. Mr. Oyo Ekpa Yongepo.
Well, for me, the summary is that the whole essence of what we do is trying to promote voluntary compliance. That's what we push for. So I want to use this opportunity to encourage those in the sector, not just the gaming, every other sector, to also embrace voluntary compliance. You don't necessarily need to wait for a tax authority to come after you and start chasing you everywhere. You already know what you ought to do, so you should do it. And for those who, of course, embrace voluntary compliance, they have less issues, to worry about.
So, Aripo, pay your tax, know the road.
Or we will come for you.
Thank you very much for being our guest on the Tax and You Radio Show, Mr. Oyo Itaikweyongepo, Principal Statistician, Head Statistics and Research Unit, CRIRS. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
The Deputy Director in charge of Pools and Betting, the Head Pools and Betting, CRIRS, Mr. Peter Ekpa, thank you very much.
It's been my utmost pleasure.
All right. It's still the Tax and You Radio Show. We've got to go on a break. We'll bring you Dear Taxpayer. Don't go away.
Dear Taxpayer on the Tax and You Radio Show with UK Oga.
I remember when my area been day like World War One. The other day, I had a chill for my house when I can hear some strange noise for the other compound. As the noise can they increase, now here I press here for window. I come the hear say na arm robber dey my neighbor house. Ewo, I sharp carry my phone call Ekelebe, and in no reach 10 minutes, them surround the entire area, catch all the arm robber them. Area come calm and dey cool. Since that time till now, I dey sleep with my two eyes closed, just because say I pay my tax, and my tax dey work for me. Government, on a well done oh. And no go ever stop to the pay my tax.
You are listening to Tax and You with UK Olga on your radio.
Welcome back. This has been the Tax and You Radio Show, as brought to you by the Cross River Internal Revenue Service, CRIRS. The show is done for today, but I'd like to remind you that it all begins with your tax. Until next week, UK Oga signing out. Bye-bye.